Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th hour apostolic shadow turn congregation around Zion, the 12th hour and the Elgin, Texas. Today is August 26, 2023, it is 11th day of Elul 2027. We're going to start our first service on this Sabbath day with the Stranger of Galilee. And fancy I stood by the shore one day of the beautiful murmuring sea. I saw the great crowds as they thronged the way of the Stranger of Galilee. I saw how the man who was blind from birth in a moment was made to see. The lame was made whole by the matchless skill of the Stranger of Galilee. His luck of compassion, his words of love, they shall never have forgotten be. And since sick and helpless he saw me there, the Stranger of Galilee, he showed me his hand and his ridden side, and he whispered it was for thee. My burdens fell off at the pierced feet of the Stranger of Galilee, and I felt I could love him forever. So gracious and tender was he. I claimed him that day as my Savior, the Stranger of Galilee. I heard him speak peace to the angry waves of the turbulent raging sea, and though at his word on the water still, the Stranger of Galilee, a peaceful, a quiet, and holy calm, now and ever abides with me. Behold, it's my life in his mighty hand, the Stranger of Galilee. Come ye who are driven and tempest-tossed, and his gracious salvation see. He'll quiet life's storms with his peace that he shares, this Stranger of Galilee. He bids me to go and the story tell, whatever to you will be. If only you live, and with you abide, the Stranger of Galilee. Oh, my friend, would you love him forever? So gracious and tender was he. Accept him today as your Savior, this Stranger of Galilee. Title, anyway, it says, Growing Grace, as, or else stop.
Two-time degrees, number 33, by the B.T. Hollis, 1948. The Shepherd Rod. The name of the sermon is The Cleansing of the Sanctuary. When and how done? That's what we're in right now, for the cleansing of the sanctuary. Daniel 8:14. When you use that in the same language as the Day of Atonement, when you say cleansing, you say atonement. That's when all sins are blotted out. Okay, now the prayer thought is go in grace or else die. Okay, it says, this is the prayer thought is taken from Christ's Object Lesson by Ellen G. White, page 65. Okay, it says, for the germination of the seed represents the beginning of the spiritual life, and the development of the plant is a beautiful figure of the Christian growth. As in the nature, so in grace. There can be no life without growth, for the plant must either grow or die. As its growth is silent and imperceptible but continuous, so is the development of the Christian life. At every stage of the development, our life may be perfect. Yet, if the Yahweh's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be a continual advancement. Sanctification is a work of a lifetime. As our opportunities multiply, our experience will enlarge, and our knowledge increase. We shall become strong to bear the responsibility, and our maturity will be in the proportion to our privileges. What is our need of the prayer this afternoon? Let us pray to grow in grace. And I'll add my part, the last part I wrote to a song. As we learn to face this earth-changing time. So let's continue on here, for there can be no life without growth. And to advance with the truth, to take advantage of all our opportunity, to cooperate with the divine agency, to be willing to bear responsibility, to realize that when we do all these, then our responsibilities will increase and our maturity will be commensurate to our privileges. Okay, end of our prayer thought. A verse that I wrote to start a song that I wrote entitled, If You Learn to Follow the Pattern, laid down for the humankind, you'll find in it a uniqueness that's sure to enlighten the mind. For there's nothing like it as you learn to follow on, and when you get to heaven's land, you'll feel right at home. And this world, in the song I also had the one line that says, you grow in grace as you learn to face this earth-changing time. Okay. It says, our text is found in the Daniel chapter 8, verse 14. I shall begin at verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint, respect, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of the desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, on the 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be come. Now it's talking about the sanctuary service in full operation, with all the feast days and so forth, and the host are the people that are practicing the sanctuary service in the house of Israel. They're the host. So when the man of sin trampled down the sanctuary service in 538 A.D., that was the Catholic Church, they also scattered the host and wouldn't allow them to come and worship, perform true service. And so the host had to scatter all over the world and hide out in order to perform their vows. So that's what we're talking about, the host. This man of sin, he not only brought the sanctuary system to a close, but he scattered the host and those he could catch, the children. Okay, let's continue on here. It says, for the question, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation? So it means that when the man of sin made the sanctuary desolate, there was a transgression that was committed there. When the sanctuary is put out of operation here on earth for mankind to perform his vows and to worship correctly, that was an abomination. And the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot, came the answer, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That is, within the 2,300 days, the daily shall be taken away, thus the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock, or the third hour of the day, in the morning, and the ninth hour in the afternoon, shall be taken away. Those are the two sacred hours of the day that set aside for daily worship. Okay, those are the sacred hours. Shall be taken away. The transgression of the desolation city, the sanctuary, and the host shall be trodden underfoot. So, all those that worship at this sanctuary, at the appointed time, they were trodden underfoot. In other words, they were stopped from worshiping, and the sanctuary system was not destroyed, it was just trampled underfoot. It says, and after this, sanctuary is to be cleansed every morning, margin, to notice the 24 hours day, full measure of time. Okay. Well, I don't agree with this. Every morning, it says in the margin of your Bible, it says denotes 24-hour days. No, it's the evening. When the sun goes down each evening, that denotes the end of a 24-hour day. Okay. And the beginning of the next 24-hour day, at that same evening. It's when the two evens come together, one closing up the day before, and one beginning the next day, for the 24-hour period. He knows 24 hours, full measure of time. For the word sacrifice does not belong to the text, but we're not going to that this time. Yes, the word sacrifice does belong to the text. This is a misquotation by the translators, and everybody after that, of the ministers of the candlestick of Israel, everyone that was appointed as a minister of that candlestick, knows that there is a spiritual sacrifice that takes the place of the physical sacrifice of the Old Testament. There's a spiritual sacrifice that you keep the feast days at the appointed time and the daily at the appointed time. That never did change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Okay, so it says, for the word sacrifice does belong in the text. So I changed it to the word not. I picked it out of there. It does belong in the text. Verse 16. It said, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Uriah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face, but he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now we're in the time of the end. Okay. For the Gabriel's explanation that at the time of the end shall be the understanding of the vision. See, the translators took out the word understanding. Understanding is a supplied word by the Elijah David that belongs here. Shall be the understanding of the vision. So you have two prepositional phrases, so to speak, to fully explain what we're talking about here. The word understanding of the vision. Well, actually, of the vision is a prepositional phrase. Shows that the paramount importance of the vision is the cleansing of the sanctuary on the antiquated day of the atonement. So the last Sunday of this month, September, we're going to have a day of the atonement, a cleansing of the sanctuary, closing out when the Feast of Tabernacles is completed. 12 days later, we're going to have a closing out of the harvest year of Israel. Correction. The last Sunday of September, not August. I was wrong on that. But we're going to have the Day of Atonement. And that it takes place not in the Daniel's time, and not before the time of the end, but after the 2300 days and the time of the end. Now, what did we just read here? Gabriel's explanation that at the time of the... I'm going to also add another prepositional phrase here. The beginning of the end will be the understanding of the vision. Shows that the paramount importance of the vision is for the cleansing of the sanctuary, and that that takes place on the Day of Atonement for the final atonement means, for the final blotting out of the sins that have been recorded during the year, and that it takes place not in the Daniel's time and not before the time of the end, but after and in the beginning, but after the 2300 days and the beginning of the time of the end. Okay, so the beginning of the time of the end is the beginning of the judgment of the living, and the closing out of the 11th hour workers of the term of Texas, and opening up the judgment of the living, closing out the judgment of the dead, 2002-2003, the term of Texas, and starting the judgment of the living, the cleansing of the sanctuary again, until the Day of Atonement. And that's how the old covenant was closed out. Because at the Day of Atonement 2002, and that's how the new year opened up the general admission. It was on the Day of Atonement. The time of the end. Now, since the 2300 days began somewhere in the 5th century, before the Yeshua, as seen in the following verses, and since the vision was to be for many days, for the time of the end, then obviously the 2300 days must be computed a day for a year, as in the Ezekiel 4:6. For the 2300 days, therefore, are actually 2300 years, for in the end of that, in the end of which the sanctuary is cleansed. What signs are to mark the time of the end? Daniel 12:4. But thou, Daniel, set up the words and seal the book, even unto the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. For the angel explained that at the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And the fact that men are now running to and fro, and that knowledge has been increased, is a self-proof that we are now living in the time of the end, that the vision is now to be understood, and that the sanctuary is now to be cleansed. Well, we know that Yahweh started this cleansing of the sanctuary at the Passover 2002. He started the ancient one before the house, and brought us with the most ancient one before the house, and he was the first one that was judged, and then the rest after him. Daniel 8:18-21. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. For the ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of the Media and Persia. Okay. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Here you see where the prophetic history of this vision began. For it begins with the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay, now we're dealing with a Medo-Persian Empire right today in the world. Donald Trump is the head of the Persian Empire today. Iran, before they overthrew the Shah with Jimmy Carter in 1979 of Iran, he was a Jew. He was a friend, brethren to the Israelites. They were good friends. That's the reason why the old beast, the Mark of the Beast people, went to work and had our government to hire a man named Jimmy Carter, our president, to lead the way for the overthrowing of the Shah of Iran, which was nothing but a good friend. He had run a dynasty for 2,500, he had He was the end of the dynasty of the Medo-Persian Empire. The longest running dynasty in the history of the world was the Medo-Persian Empire for 2,500 years. And a typical Cyrus was the one that started that Persian Empire. And lo and behold, we have an antitypical Cyrus today, Donald Trump, that is resurrecting that Medo-Persian Empire and carries us in the time to the victories of the Alexander the Great. Verse 23, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding, dark senses shall stand up. And the latter end of the Medes and the Greeks, when the transgressors, that is the Jews, and when you use that word Jews, you're talking about just the tribe of Judah, the house of David. You're not talking about the other 11 tribes at all. But that's what they're doing when they say Jews here. They're always talking about all the nation of Israel. But that's wrong. It's the nation of Judah. The two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are come to the full. Another king or kingdom was to stand up. It was none other than Rome, as the kingdom which overran the four Grecian divisions. All right, verses 26 to 27. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterwards I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, that none understood it. Daniel here confesses that the meager explanation which the Gabriel gave concerning the vision was not sufficient. None could understand it. Consequently, as time went on, and as he still could not understand the vision, although the set time for the liberation had come, he graphically said, Daniel 9, 1, 2, 3, 22 and 23, in the first year of the Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, that's Babylon. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years. Wherefore the word of the Yahweh came unto Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of the Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Yahweh to seek by the prayer and supplication with the fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and he informed me, and he talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. Because Gabriel was to begin where he left off, chapter 8, he counseled Daniel first to consider the vision. Then said Gabriel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. That's the Jerusalem. for the finishing of the transgression, and for the making an end of the sin, for the making reconciliation for the iniquity, and for the bringing in of the everlasting righteousness, and for the sealing up of the vision and prophecy, and for the anointing of the Most Holy. Since the Daniel is here explaining the vision of the chapter 8, the things that were to take place during the 2300 days, the 70 weeks, are therefore part of the 2300 days. Let's repeat this last paragraph. Since the Gabriel, not Daniel, is here explaining of the vision of the chapter 8, of the things that were for the to take place during the 2300 days, in the first 70 weeks are therefore a part of the 2300. Alright, now we're going to go into the 2300 days of Daniel 8:14. Let us now study the subject with the aid of this chart. For the 70 weeks are actually 490 years. Mark that during these 490 years, Daniel and Daniel's people, the Jews, and true, it was the tribe of Judah and Benjamin that was in the 70-year captivity. That's what Daniel was, a member of the tribe of Judah. That's why he called them the Jews. We're to make an end of sin and make reconciliation for their iniquity, or else be hopelessly given up. Next, Daniel was told where the 70 weeks began. Daniel 25. Know, therefore, and understand that from the time from the going forth of the commandment for the restoring and for I'm going to put the word rebuilding Jerusalem and unto the Messiah, all restoring Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 weeks, for the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in the troublous time. From the commandment for the restoring and for the rebuilding of the Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, that is, unto Yeshua the Prince, it says there were to be 7 weeks, 40 years, and 62 weeks, 434 years, 69 weeks in all, or 483 years. Okay. Here's history shows that the decrease, for the rebuilding of the ancient city went forth in 457 B.C. Hence, 483 years from 457 B.C. brings us under 2780 unto the year Yeshua, as the Messiah was baptized. This incident, too, proves that the 2300 days are computed a day for a year, and that the 70 weeks are the first block of the time from within this 2300 days. Look at the chart. For we should now remember that after the cutting off of the 60 weeks from the 70 weeks, or the 69 weeks, the 70 weeks, there is yet 1 week left. What takes place during this week is told in the verses that follow, in verses 26 and 27 of Daniel chapter 9. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. Really not for himself. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay, your key to this right here is he's going to confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's confirming the covenant. Okay, so our next study is to understand who is this one that he confirmed the covenant, actually confirmed it. It's a New Testament covenant now. It's a new covenant. It's not anything to do with the old covenant. Okay, so you're going to find out that the everlasting kingdom in this 12th to about its hour is when this covenant is confirmed. Of Daniel 9:27. Just what was to take place during the time, during the first 7 weeks or 49 years, I am not prepared to say. But in the end of the next 62 weeks or 434 years, the Messiah is to be cut off, crucified. Okay. During the remaining week, the 70th, he was to confirm the covenant with many. And in the midst of it, he was to be cut off, crucified. Okay, so when it says confirm the covenant, it's talking about the confirm the New Testament covenant. Not the Old Testament, but confirm the New Testament covenant with many. The translators left out that New Testament. And in the midst of it, he is to be cut off, crucified. That is, there are to be 3.5 years from his baptism until the crucifixion, and 3.5 years after the crucifixion, in which he is to confirm the covenant. This completes the 70 weeks. And brings us unto the time that the apostles were commanded to go out and preach the gospel and unto the Gentiles. One named Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter, a Jew, of the tribe of Judah, exclusively of the house of David, keep that in mind. And an apostle were both given a vision. Cornelius was instructed to see the Peter, and Peter was commanded to meet the Cornelius. See Acts chapter 10. For the Jews as a nation failed to maintain an end of sin.
To make an end.
Okay, let's repeat that last sentence. For the Jews, tribe of Judah, house of David, as a nation, failed to make an end of sin, were therefore rejected, given up. So, for the the Jews of the Old Covenant as a nation failed to make an end of sin. But the Jews with the New Covenant are the ones that Yahshua fulfills in the making of the end of sin. And when is the end of sin completed? And the end of the world, and the end of 6,000 years, not 4,000 years. So it is making a covenant with many for 1 week in the midst of the week is for the fulfillment at the end of the world, not the end of the 4,000-year period at the cross. For Yahshua's own sacrifice at the end of the first 3.5 years replaced the sacrificial ceremonial system, and thus he caused the sacrifice to cease in the midst of the week. All this time and event, you see, took place exactly as Gabriel predicted. Nevertheless, even with this added explanation, Daniel still was not able to comprehend all. He was not able to comprehend all that was in the vision. But as the time went on, and as his burden for the deliverance of his people increased, knowing that the time had come, he prayed for the light. His prayer is recorded in the first part of chapter 10, after which the angel appeared and again explained. Daniel 10:21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. Daniel was then promised all the light that should be given, not only on the vision of chapter 8, but on all that is noted in the scripture of the truth in the connection with the vision, that with which the angel showed him is recorded in the chapters 11 and 12. Chapter 11, you will see, begins with the vision of the chapter 8, with the kings of the Medo-Persia. Okay, that would be Cyrus and Darius. And Grisha is symbolized by the ram and the he-goat in chapter 8. Then was Daniel told that the explanation at last was sufficient, but that it was impossible for him to understand it all, for this vision was sealed until the time of the end. Chapters 12, verses 8 and 9. By this long prophetic history and geography, as seen in the chapters 11 and 12, the angel brings us up unto the time of the end, unto the time that the cleansing is to take place. And here is the nature of the cleansing, and according unto the angel, is angel's word, Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall the Michael, which is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, stand up as the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of the trouble such as never was since there was a nation even under that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. By the delivering of the righteous, he thoroughly separates the righteous from among the wicked. For he puts the good fish in the vessel and casts out the bad. Matthew 13:48. He shall cleanse his people from sin and sinners. Okay, that's what we're needing and asking for right now here with myself. We're asking for a miracle. We're asking for a cleansing of my body to maintain and continue on with my ministry. Verses 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many unto righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Okay. For the wicked that arise with the righteous in this mixed resurrection are also to be separated from the righteous. For the wicked are to be put to shame and everlasting contempt. But the righteous are to be given eternal life. Verse 10. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall be wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. For the living righteous shall be purified, but the wicked shall become even more wicked. Verses 11 and 12. And from the time that the daily shall be taken away, I left the word
sacrifice
there. I'll put it back in. It is in there. That the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. I mean that there was an appointed time twice a day for sacrifices to be to take place. And so it's talking about at that time of the day, at that hour, shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate sit up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to 1,335 days. So that would be then counting from 508 A.D., 1844, that would be 1,335 days. 1,305 days out. That's from 508 to 1844. Here another block of the time from within the 2,300 days is introduced, beginning from the time that the daily is abolished and the abomination set up, for the daily represents something which should not have been abolished. That means that that's a sacred hour of the day those that Yahshua at the cross made a new covenant with, many for after those days, they are to perform their spiritual vows at this time of the day. And the abomination represents something that should not have been set up. For the word sacrifices is supplied and does not belong in the text. For light on these, let's see, it says, for the daily represents something which should not have been abolished. And the abominations represent something that should not have been set up. For the word sacrifices is a supplied word, and it belongs in the text. I read earlier where it says it doesn't belong in the text, but it does belong in the text, showing that at that sacred hour there is to be some kind of a sacrifice performed. Whether it's a spiritual sacrifice or a physical sacrifice of the old covenant, and the new covenant is a spiritual sacrifice. For light on these, read track number 3, the harvest. It should be noticed, however, that the promised blessing, the cleansing, does not begin until after the 1,335 days or years are expired. Okay, so those days ended in 1844. They expired. Now, since the 2300-year period began in 457 B.C., with the commandment to restore and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, the two tribes, the house of David, the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10 is your prophecy for that. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him, Shiloh is Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. For the 2300 days, consequently, and in 1844, the time that the 1335 days end, then the days of the blessings began. It should now be remembered that this cleansing of the sanctuary includes the cleansing of both those who are to be resurrected and those who are to be living during the cleansing time. Okay. For the speaking through the prophet Ezekiel of the cleansing among the living, Yahshua says, in Ezekiel 36:24-29, for I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. For a new heart also will I give unto you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and ye shall be my people. And I will be your Yahweh. I will also save you from all of your leanness. And I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. None of the living can actually be cleansed from all their marks of sin while among the Gentile nations, you see. They must first be separated from the hypocrites and Gentiles, then brought into their own land, there to be sprinkled with the clean water, cleansed from all their filthiness and from all their idols when they get to their own land, not before. Even a new heart is to be given them there, and a new spirit also. For thus will the Yahshua, this is the Son now, that's taking charge of his kingdom, of the kingdom of Judah, house of David, cause them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgment. That's John 15:10, where Yahshua said to his disciples, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Yahshua, he kept his Father's commandments, which is all the commandments of the sanctuary. And then Yahshua said, now, those are also my commandments. So if you keep my commandments, now that I'm in charge of, thus shall they return and dwell in the land of their fathers, Palestine. And thus shall they be Yahweh's people eternally. These things you see are premillennial.
But we have an anchor. Will your anchor hold in the storm of life? when the clouds unfold their wings of scud, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift our firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firmly in the Savior's love. If you safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables passed from this heart to that can defy the blast through strength defined. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, rounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers tell that the reef is near. Though the tempest rave and the war winds blow, not an angry wave shall our buckle flow. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firmly with the Savior's love. It will surely hold in the floods of death, when the waters cold chill our latest breath. On the rising tide it can never fail, all our hopes abide within the veil. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold in the dawning light, shining gates of pearl or harbor bright, we shall anchor fast to the heavenly shore, with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firmly in the Savior's love.